The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Would you like to know how to save a soul from death? Actually, would you like to just know what that phrase means? Well, that's what we're going to explore on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us for a very important episode. We're currently in a series in which we're responding to Wayne Grudem's critique of free grace. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But first, I want to remind you about our upcoming national conference. This is a great time for fellowship and solid Bible teaching. It's something I look forward to every year, and I certainly hope to see you there. So you can learn more about our national conference by going to faithalone.org. Click on events and learn everything you need to know about our national conference. In fact, you can register right there on the site. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, here we are, about to finish our series on Wayne Grudem's book. And what's the title of the book?
It's Free Grace Theology, Five Ways It Diminishes the Gospel.
At least he gives us the benefit of the doubt that, you know, we believe the gospel, we just diminish it.
Yeah.
But from our perspective, because he adds works to the saving message, this is really, he preaches another gospel.
Right.
It's this idea that it isn't simply enough to be persuaded that Jesus' promise of salvation is true. You need all kinds of other elements in your life in order to be really saved.
Yeah, you've got to submit. You've got to turn from your sins. You've got to commit yourself to follow him the rest of your life.
It needs to be heartfelt, and it needs
right.
to be, there's all kinds of complications that people add to it. Well, anyways, we're in the last chapter of Grudem's book, Unlikely Interpretations, where he goes over 11 passages that he thinks support his position, and he thinks the free grace interpretations are unlikely. The last one is also from James, number 11. It's on page 136, and he quotes James 5, 19 to 20. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. And this is what Grudem says about that passage. The free grace position does not want to admit that a sinner who wanders away from Christian fellowship is in danger of eternal death, as this passage seems to imply. Therefore, Hodges claims, and this is Zane Hodges, claims that save his soul from death means rescuing a Christian from a premature physical death that would come through God's discipline. And Grudem's response to that is, but no physical danger or physical sickness or other threat to physical life is specified by this context, and therefore, consistent with New Testament usage of this verb elsewhere, it is far better to understand this as referring to eternal salvation. So I guess the big question is, what does save his soul from death mean? Does it mean eternal salvation? Is James warning believers, as Grudem says, from wandering away from Christian fellowship and incurring eternal death, he calls it? Or is it, as Zane Hodges says, that this is temporal death, this is physical death, this is death from the deadly consequences of sin in this life?
Right, and that's part of the problem. Grudem is out of his depth here. I'm not sure. I think you mentioned his doctorates in New Testament. If it is, he hasn't been doing much exegesis in a long time, because he doesn't seem to comment in the book about the usage of words. He doesn't comment about much of anything. His one place where he's doing it here with sozo, he does so without really examining the uses of the word. For example, as you mentioned, he says here, no physical danger or physical sickness or other threat to physical life is specified in this context.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure Grudem knows that the word psuche, the word translated soul, is often used in the New Testament to refer to life. For example, we're told Jesus laid down his psuche for us,
mm-hmm.
and that's translated life. He
right.
laid down his life for us. Also, 1 Peter 3:20, Peter is talking about Noah and his family, and he says that the world was formerly disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. Well, there's the saving of the psuche, there's the saving of the soul. Jody Dillow has done a good job of showing that the salvation of the psuche every time, almost every time at least, it occurs in the LXX, the Greek Old Testament, and in the New Testament, refers to saving the physical life. Also, Jerry Patillo did his master's thesis at Dallas Seminary and published a journal article in our journal. The point is pretty clear here in James 5, 19 and 20. He's talking to brothers. As he's 13 other times in the book, he refers to the readers as brethren or brothers.
Yeah.
And he says, if anyone among you... Well, remember what Grudem had said earlier when we were talking about chapter 2? And he said, someone would say, and he says, well, someone is not one of the readers.
Yeah.
Well, here we have clearly one of the readers.
Mm.
If anyone among you, among the brethren.
Right.
What do you call someone among the brethren? Wouldn't that be one of the brethren?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then he says, wanders from the truth. And this is the word we get the word planets from, because the planets wander in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Well, an unbeliever really can't wander from the truth because he was never in the truth in the first place.
Yeah.
And then it says, and someone turns him back. Oh, here's our word someone, which in chapter 2, verse 14, Grudem wanted to say was an unbeliever.
Right.
Here he wants to say that someone is a believer, but the wanderer is either an unbeliever or a potential unbeliever. And then he says, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death. Well, now, I'm not sure. Maybe you can read again what he said, but I think his view is, if the person is a genuine believer, then they will respond to the rescuing ministry of a fellow believer, and they will come back, and they won't go to hell.
Yeah.
But if they don't come back, then they're going to go to hell. Is that his point?
You know, as I'm rereading this chapter, I don't think Grudem actually comes out and says what he thinks this means, other than to imply this, when he says, the free grace position does not want to admit that a sinner who wanders away from Christian fellowship is in danger of eternal death, as this passage seems to imply. He says it seems to imply it, but I assume he thinks that it does more than seems to apply. I assume that's his position.
Okay, so let's read it that way. So then verse 20 says, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from eternal condemnation and will cover a multitude of sins.
Right.
So if the believer has strayed,
yeah,
and you turn him back,
yeah,
then you're saving him from eternal condemnation.
Right.
Which means if he doesn't come back, this believer loses his salvation.
Yeah, does he lose his salvation, or I guess Grudem would say it proves that he was never saved to begin with.
Okay, well then, if he was never saved to begin with, then why is he saved by turning from his sin and not, doesn't Grudem say the person has to commit their life to Christ, have a personal encounter with Christ, you know, they need to obey Christ?
I don't, yeah,
where's all that? It's all missing
well,
here.
Well, I guess he'd say that's implied by the turning.
I see.
You're turning from to something else.
Okay, but it seems to me the free grace position makes a whole lot more sense. In fact, Dr. Ryrie in the Ryrie Study Bible says this is talking about the sin unto death from 1 John chapter 5 and other passages.
Right. There's one thing I was thinking of when I was reading this. He says, but no physical danger or physical sickness or other threat to physical life is specified by this context. But really, the previous mention of salvation in verse 13 of that same chapter, like 13, 14, 15, is about physical salvation specifically.
Right.
From sickness.
The previous one is, and he mentions that earlier in the book.
And notice in verse 15 also, that salvation is also related in James's mind to forgiveness too.
Exactly. And in 4:12, a lot of people miss this, but he says God is able to save and destroy.
Right.
And in the verses that follow, it talks about the fact that if a believer boasts he's going to go to a certain city and stay for a year and make a profit and return,
yeah,
he says, you don't even know you're going to live another year.
Right. So it's like Grudem says, I don't know where they're getting this idea that this physical salvation is just totally not in the context. Well, just it's in that chapter, and it's just five verses before. It's not that far away.
Not only that, he's talking to brethren about one of you.
Yeah.
The one straying is one of you. So
yeah,
what Grudem has to have is unregenerate brethren.
Right. People, I guess he'd say, we think they're members of the church, but just because you're a member of a church doesn't mean you're born again. We're going to have to tell by your behavior whether or not you've turned from the error.
Not according to James in James 1:18. In James 1:18, James says, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures.
There you go.
And then he says, so then, my beloved brethren.
Yeah.
The brethren are the ones who've been brought forth by the word of truth.
Ah.
And then he goes on to say, you need to receive the word implanted that you may save your souls.
Right.
Again, save your lives.
Yeah.
So 5:19 and 20 goes right back to 1:19 to 21.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that a fair reading of Scripture results in the fact that salvation is by grace, through faith, apart from works. And it's a sad thing that so many theologians, even well-known theologians, reject salvation by grace, through faith, apart from works.
So there you have it. Here is our series on Wayne Grudem's book, Free Grace Theology, Five Ways It Diminishes the Gospel. I think we're finished. The very last chapter of the book is really just a summary of everything that's gone before, and I don't think we need a separate podcast about it. If you want to read Bob's response to this book, then definitely pick up a copy of Grudem Against Grace, A Defense of Free Grace Theology. Do you have any final thoughts, Bob?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't want to lose along the way the fact that I think it's quite possible that Dr. Wayne Grudem is a born-again man who's lost his way. You know, the truth is, once a person is saved, they're always saved. Jesus said, he who lives and believes in me shall never die. And in Greek, never die is actually extremely emphatic. Never, ever die. And so the point is, once you have everlasting life, you've got it forever. Even if, like Wayne Grudem, you hold the Lordship salvation or work salvation, you can't undo the work of regeneration. Now, I don't know for sure if he ever believed in the past, but I hope he did. But the point is, anyone who's influenced by Wayne Grudem is going to be influenced by a works salvation sort of theology, a confusing sort of theology, a theology that's accepted by a lot of evangelicals. But the fact that his views are popular doesn't make them right. And the question is, what do the Scriptures say? I think any fair reading of Scripture is going to show that John 3:16 means what it says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but has everlasting life.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Do you like what you're learning on the show? Well, there's more where that came from. We would love for you to come visit us at our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free resources on our site. One of which is really popular, is our free magazine. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color and it's completely free. Subscribe on the website and it will show up in your mailbox hassle free. It's faithalone.org. Another reason to visit the site is to learn a little bit more about becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. You ever have one of those questions that keeps you up at night? I know that I do sometimes. Well, if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, we want to hear from you. Send us a message at radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about what does it mean to believe? So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.